For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Rick Ritter's going to be jealous. He thinks he's a PYT.
Which one isn't he? Pretty or young?
I don't know how old Rick Ritter is.
But you think he's beautiful is what he's saying.
I don't know how old he is.
Ed, is your food here yet?
Can we get an update, Joe? Can we get an update on this? I don't know whether Ed food.
Oh, I do have an update.
All right, Ed.
They were breaking down the sandwiches, and then Rob got the wrong sandwich and took a bite of Ed's.
Yep. That just happened. And I got a sandwich that I didn't even really think I got, but Ed proved it on the menu that I did order.
You asked for mayonnaise on your sandwich.
Which I never have.
Breaking news.
Oh!
I was like shaking my head.
When did you put this
here? About 20 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Way to go, Houdini.
What does that have to do with Houdini got out of jam?
You don't know.
Me not knowing that I had a Diet Coke to my right.
He surprised you.
How's that Houdini?
Surprise, Houdini. I made it.
Let's do some college football. How's that? Tonight, Boise State, number 17. At UNLV, who you like?
I got UNLV tonight. Well, I'm looking at it from the plus 3.5. I do think they're a live dog.
I said who you like three times. I can't repeat myself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well,
Jesus. You're such an asshat.
Oh, man. We're never going to win.
We're never going to have this building.
What's that, Joe? We got a meeting today? Great.
Go ahead. My bad.
No, I think UNLV is a live dog tonight. And it's weird knowing all the things that they've went through. And we talked about them earlier in the season, the quarterback change and all that. They've actually been playing really good football. But Boise State's been on another level with Ashton Jonte, or is that the Ashante Dagger, as I like to call him from Golden Child. But he's... This kid has just been scoring touchdown after touchdown. The other day, he played in a game where he was minus 650 to score a touchdown.
Oh.
He didn't score. I think he didn't score one until the third quarter, mm-hmm. and then he ended up with like three or four. It's just like he's so effing good. So, like, I know people are going to watch Dodgers Yankees tonight. If you get a chance,
I'm watching some UNLV.
Flip over and watch this.
I am.
That just sounds weird. Flip the channel and
folks. If you have a tablet, and I know you have a phone, watch one game on your phone. Come on. Update. It's 2024. You don't have to watch one game anymore. Doesn't happen.
Speaking of updates.
Yeah, your sandwich is here. What update you want?
Oh, there it is. Breaking news.
When did the upgrade with your phone and your iPad and all, when did it become completely irrelevant? Like, they sent me a thing, you're eligible for an upgrade. I still have to pay full price, so what's the difference? Now I'm allowed now to pay full price?
Yeah, but you're upgraded.
Another thing.
Well, when did that happen? Just because you got money back.
No, not anymore, bro. I had to pay $1,200 on my last bill.
What's that? We got another meeting? Really? Ed didn't stay on topic?
I had to pay...
For the device.
For the device, yeah. MetLife Stadium, this is one I'm actually looking forward to. Number 12, Notre Dame versus Navy. Navy's 14-point dogs, what I'm seeing. But I think Navy's going to keep this close, Ed.
So do I. That's the game I want to see, actually.
That's at 12 o'clock on Saturday.
Yep. MetLife Stadium. I just find that Navy, I find the Academy fascinating, particularly Navy, because they've been good consistently over the last decade or so. And it's like they can't possibly compete with the other team size wise because of the restrictions in military. I just think they're very difficult to defend because you don't see that offense very often.
And unless you really run it, you can't simulate it in practice.
Right.
Unless you
have, I don't know about that.
What?
I think when you look at the situation here, Notre Dame sees Navy every year. Yeah. They see them quite a bit. The one thing that Notre Dame's been doing really well on the defensive side of the ball is stopping the run. This is a totally different beast. Mm-hmm. I just think this is absolutely the best team Navy's seen all year. I think it's the puffy pants time.
Oh, I just say they're going to win.
No,
I just find the team, you know, I think they're fascinating. They're ranked. They shouldn't. When would an academy be ranked?
Hmm?
Both of them, Army and Navy, both ranked.
They're both. If you haven't seen them, they're both fantastic.
Yeah.
But again, it's just the level of that you're playing against when you look at some of those opponents. And then now, I'm not telling you Notre Dame's the end all be all. I just think they match up really well with Navy.
As Barkley told Davitsky, ain't never no 7 foot people in the Army.
21 Missouri at 15 Alabama. Number one, you're coming to the end of October, and Alabama's ranked 15th in the country. That is. It's ridiculous. Missouri 17-point dogs in this one. I'm going Missouri to cover, Jeremy, Alabama to win.
I think Alabama wins. I think there's a good shot they cover. I'm almost positive I won't be betting this game this weekend or have it as a play because I think it's – I think we're kind of in that range, Robbie. Like, it's I could see it going either way. Like, Alabama winning by 10, Alabama winning by 21. But I do think Alabama wins.
I think they win, but not winning by 17.
Not me either. Missouri covers this
game. Yeah, I think they cover, and I think it's close.
Missouri's talented, but they've already had their comeuppance a little bit when they went on the road and faced
so
Texas
Alabama.
A&M. Well, but again, like getting battle tested and Missouri being in the SEC and kind of they've been there for a little bit now, getting used to it. This is the I'm gonna say it's the best team Missouri's
I think
had.
It is.
Maybe it is.
I think it is. LSU 8th versus number 14 TAMU Texas A&M University. This game is almost a pick'em game, and as much as I love my man Greg Penn III to win this game. For LSU, I think Texas A&M wins this one.
Yep. Take that home team. A&M, the fact that Connor's back, looking at the way he's been playing, this is one of the toughest places in the country to play. The fans are just ridiculous. The pregame ceremonies, all the, they're ready to roll when the game starts. They're loud, obnoxious, and I think this is going to be one of the best atmospheres we see this weekend. I think Texas A&M wins.
Texas, number 5 in the country versus 25 Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt already has a win against Alabama. Texas favored by 18.5, Ed Norris. I think Texas wins.
Texas covers.
But do you think they cover as well?
Yeah, 100%. I think they got humiliated. I think they did. They got humiliated, and they were just coming off being number 1 in the country. I think Texas is a really good team. I don't know what the hell happened there. You know, it could be just face somebody that was better than them and he got shellacked, but Vanderbilt's not, and I think they're going to take care of Vanderbilt by a big margin.
Roll out. Yes.
I think
you in the front row.
I think the quarterback situation that hasn't become a situation in Texas yet, it will become officially a situation this Saturday. I think if Texas covers in this game, they're going to have to rally with Arch Manning, who comes off the bench in relief.
If you get a chance to watch this game, I think Texas handles business. But I really love that quarterback at Vanderbilt. He's a gamer.
Pavia?
Yeah, he is an absolute gamer. Just watch him play. Look, and this might be the worst weekend to watch him because Texas has one of the best defenses, if not the best in the country. So maybe he doesn't get the game he wants. And like everybody's talking about, Texas got embarrassed on national television when they were the best team in the country. And Georgia said, not so fast. And then so here we are now with the Texas team. We'll see how inspired they are. But Vanderbilt showed that they're not just going to, you know, roll over and play dead for you.
Yeah. No, they're not. SEC football, baby. Ain't nothing better.
Yeah, that's what everybody's talking about. It's like, hey, the SEC's really tough, except when you play Vanderbilt. Maybe we get them out and get a better team in.
What Tosh said.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
The SEC.
And, of course, we'd be remiss to mention that Al Maryland Terps traveled to Minnesota. And Minnesota's only favored by 4 in this game. Game is 3 o'clock. Coverage right here. On 105, the 7 Fan begins at 2 o'clock. I think Maryland picks up his second Big Ten win of the year in this one.
I do, too. I think they're a live dog yet again. Again, it's weird when a college football season, you look at it and how quickly things change. Because you were down on Maryland after that loss that they had. You're like, oh, my God, how do you lose to this team? On that Friday night against Northwestern, they get embarrassed. And you're going, this can't happen. And you start to look at the rest of your schedule. You're like, I don't know if they're going to get bowl eligible. They don't care who they play.
No.
And they're good enough, believe this or not, they're good enough to be in a game with anyone to give themselves a chance to win. But they're also, at times, you know, we see those hiccups out there where it looks like an inferior team, and then I don't want to say lay down, but they don't look as good against their opponents. This is one of those matchups where Minnesota runs the football really well. I think if they slow down that run game, they're in this game, they win it. But at least cover. I'm definitely going to be on the Terps this weekend.
And by the way, this is the first time since 1960 that both service academies have been ranked this late in the season.
1960?
Yeah. Really? 410-583-1057. Mike Preston joins us at 8:30. Don't go anywhere. The professor will give us a call. But on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving shovels.
Yeah, we are. I'm going to give mine to a very special person down in Florida who just They never cease to amaze me.
I wonder who's special down in Florida that you
They know. All are.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Ed Norris will get you a shovel.
I'll give it to a man named Markel Royale. Or Royal.
Royale with cheese?
Yeah. I'm going to need some of your help here when this is done. Because you made a dish called spaghetti a la battery.
A la battery?
Yeah. Yep. What he did was, he's 44-year-old. No, he's 40, actually. His wife's 44. Apparently, he was drunk. He threw his bowl of spaghetti at his wife of 9 years. Struck her in the front of her body, on her stomach, according to the arrest report. He was arrested for throwing spaghetti at her. Apparently, he can't help himself. He's got a lengthy criminal record, including a 2018 conviction of beating up his wife. With whom he has 3 kids, and was charged with an enhanced felony battery count. It's 15,000, whatever, whatever. His rap sheet spans 20 years, 10 cocaine convictions, drug firearms charges, beating up his wife. I wonder if you get time for spaghetti. Because I can't imagine they let him go, even though this is a minor thing. He sounds just like a prick. Really. I can't wait for him to say, it's a me, when he gets there. It's a me!
When they call his name?
Yeah.
It's a me!
Markel, it's a me!
Battery spaghetti! Oh, no!
Jeremy Kahn?
She falling with the spaghetti.
Who gets your shovel?
Somebody hates me right now. My shovel goes to me. Should have told this story yesterday, but when we were going through shovels, I forgot about this. So when I was going through my whole ordeal this week, Rob, and I had a lot of things to try to figure out, right? I was talking about how much I was in pain with my stomach. So obviously I thought I was constipated. So what do you do when
you're full of crap?
Yeah. What do you do when you're constipated? You take stuff to try to make you go.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, there's different things. There's like Miralax, took that. There's a suppository. I gave myself a suppository, which is really fun, by the way. As you put something inside your butt. The guy that does what's in my butt puts stuff in his actual butt. And then my wife went to the store and she's like, well, let's try an enema. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is great. So like I squeeze the enema just a little bit to make sure that the water, like the liquid comes out.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried there might be like a little plastic piece in there you got to pull off. Because I told you the end of it's lubed. Oh, you brought lube.
Well, you had lube in it.
Yeah. So I squeeze that, and not realizing when I squeezed it, I wiggle that thing and shove it up my rear end. I start squeezing it. It won't come out because I took the air out of it, the pressure, you know, so it was like, I don't want to say it was pressurized in my butthole.
So it's still there.
Yeah, so it was there. So I had to take it out and then let the air go back in that thing and then try to pop it back in there and then squeeze it. So if you haven't had this done before or done this to yourself, it's a really weird feeling when liquid's going up that hole.
Is it?
Yeah. But it was interesting, like, trying to get that in and out of there. I put it in and out, like, 20 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just to try to make sure it was still working.
Did you do it? Try it again last night?
No. By the way, that's not fun for anyone. The enema, the suppository. Like, you're putting something in there, and then you clench your butt cheeks trying to hold it, and then something's ready to come out. Except I had nothing in my system. I hadn't eaten in 2 days.
I told you what happened to me.
It's awful.
The hospital.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
Well, you should tell this story. You should tell it.
All right. Well, people know I had 2 surgeries within 4 months. And what happened, the second one was a major emergency spine surgery. I had spinal fusion. So they had me on heavy painkillers, which one of the side effects is you can't go to the bathroom. You're constipated. And I was getting... My stomach was distended. Like, it looked like I swallowed a soccer ball. I was just really uncomfortable.
Couldn't go.
And I took all the things they had. Finally, I relented. I go, all right, I'll do the enema, because they were saying, we can just do this. I go, okay, all right, go ahead. Go in the bathroom, Nurse Kavinu, who I've been working with every day, really very nice girl. She administers it. And I told her, after we're done, I said, listen, we both live in this city. If I see you out in the bar, we don't mention this. She laughs. Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. My boyfriend's a huge fan of you. He loves the show.
Show him the picture. By the way, with me, I said it on when I came back, but it was diverticulitis is what I had.
Mm-hmm.
So So I didn't need to do any of that stuff.
I know.
Son of a bitch. That's what I said. Ed was there.
Last night, if you watched the Vikings-Rams game, you saw how that game ended with the face mask that wasn't called. So you know how important officiating is in sports. My shovel goes to Major League Baseball. Why? Because they announced the umpires for this fall classic. Out of 90 umpires, Carlos Torres, he's been working his first World Series. He's ranked 32nd. Andy Fletcher, he's ranked 73rd. He's his first World Series.
Out of 90.
Out of 90. Mark Carlson, 49th out of 90. Doug Edding, 60th out of 90. Mark Ripperger, who's the highest ranked one in the crew in his first World Series, he's ranked 18th. Chad Fairchild, 37th out of 90. And Todd Titchener, ranked 24th out of 90. For a World Series, you do not have a top 10 umpire in the entire thing. How do you do that? For the World Series, you have an umpire who's ranked 73rd out of 90. In the World Series.
What did he do this season to deserve being in the World Series to call this and getting paid for it? What did he do? There's only 17 umpires that were worse than you this year, and you have that guy umping the World Series?
Unreal. Let's go to West Friendship, get George. Yes, sir, George.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I understand there's a lot goes into this decision. But I want to give the shovel to 105.7, the fans, specifically the management for not doing what needs to be done to carry Oriole and or Ravens ball games.
Well, you started off by saying you understand a lot goes into this decision, and apparently you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't be handing the shovel out. You know, that's like saying, let's go and trade for Aaron Judge, or let's go and trade for anybody else that the other team is not going to trade with. So, you know, we would love to have both teams, and I'll leave it there. But you don't understand everything that goes into broadcasting those teams. If so, that shovel wouldn't have been given.
And by the way, the other thing that should be said about this, too, is that before the Orioles got good, their contract came up, right?
Yeah.
They were still in the rebuild, and it's depending on what you think. Now, they got through that rebuild a little bit faster than what we thought, and now they're obviously a team that you want to – watch, listen to, whatever. And I think we would love to have them here. But the fact of the matter is they're not. What is it? What are you missing with them not being here outside of being on, you know, a network where you can definitely hear it and you know where it's going to be all the time?
It's not. Hey, come on, a fan. Okay. That's not how that works.
No.
It's not how that works.
And then they have requests of how much money they want to be paid or what percentage they want.
I repeated myself again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Austin, Chesapeake Beach. What's up, Austin?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir.
I want to give my shovel to my coworker that's sitting right next to me in the work truck.
Oh.
He decided this morning to take his nasty-ass boot and sock off with the heat on in the work truck.
Oh. Well, these guys. Does his feet smell like corn chips?
No, you can't imagine.
These two guys like feet. See, I'm on your side, though.
No, see? This is
how it works. Wait a minute. You guys,
you're just generalizing.
Your feet discriminating now?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. That's messed
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm a fetus.
Be an adult. You're a fetus?
He's only like specific feet.
You're a fetus. He's a fetishist.
So,
Daily Line at 9 o'clock, Melissa Kim at 9:15.
Okay.
But on the other side, Mike Preston joins us up next on the Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to get something funky when you got Mike Preston. The professor is in the Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Mike Preston, what's going on, Michael?
Good morning, fellas. How's everybody?
All right. How are you, man?
I am fantastic.
That's all we want to hear. That's all we want to hear, man. Listen, Ravens taking on the Cleveland Browns. I said this earlier. Browns fighting his fans because they cheered when their quarterback got hurt, and they were very vocal about that. You know, Browns fans are going to push back against that. The city of Cleveland is threatening to sue the Browns because They're going to move the team outside of the city of Cleveland. So much going on right there. I think the Ravens go in, and I think the Ravens go in, protect the women and children, because this thing is going to be ugly.
Hey, you got to remember, one of the keys, when you have so much going on, that sometimes the team kind of unites, and it's us against the world mentality. That's what you got to guard against, but I don't see it happening in this situation. I mean, this team is in total disarray. I mean, you got the fans and the team arguing. You got management going on, and there's so many problems. You know, the Ravens just can't go in overconfident. That's the major key for this team. Just take care of your business. I don't even know if they have to bring their A game, but a B game might get it done. Just don't get ambushed. I mean, because they're starting a new quarterback and so forth. And that might give them some life, too. But, Rob, that lasts about a half. That lasts about two periods. And then it's back to being the Browns again.
I give it to you. But you did say you never know if they bring a B game. I mean, what would have to happen for them to lose this game? I mean, they just look like such an overwhelming favorite in this game. Not the spread. The spread's 8.5, whatever. I just think they're just so much better than the Browns. Like, what would have to happen? Like, the officials conspire, or Lamar just lose his mind one game?
You just can't come in with that mentality. You know, and they keep saying that the NFL is a week-to-week league. It is. And then you look at what happened last night. I mean, I didn't think the Vikings – we thought the Vikings, and they're rebound to come back, play a strong game, and get back in, and then the winning classification. And then they lose to the Rams. And I'm not saying the Rams are great. I'm just saying I thought that would play out. Well, the Ravens have to be careful at the same time. You can't go into this game and saying and believing, hey, this is going to be a walk in the park. This is going to be a walkthrough. That's not the National Football League. These guys, they got pride. They have some energy. And it's early in the season. If this was late in the year, you could get away with that because everybody wants to get the U-Haul trucks outside running, get the furniture in, and go home. That's not the case right now. It's still early in the season, so they're going to play hard. It'll be interesting to watch this game, but I don't see it happening. I just don't see the Ravens losing.
Hey, Mike, let me. As far as like the you look at this season as a whole, we were just talking about trades. There was rumors that they contacted the Browns about Za'Darius Smith. You know, looking at a team that's falling out of it and finding the right trade partner is difficult. Do you think the Ravens are going to make a move? Because it seems like they have a team that everybody believes can make that run, but do they need to add something, a pass rusher, someone in the secondary, in your opinion, to kind of go all in for this?
I would probably add a pass rusher more than someone in a secondary. I mean, I know there's questions about Marlon Humphrey, but they got Armour Davis back. They got the kid Marlette back. So there's sound there. Mm-hmm. Pass rush. I don't know. I think you'd improve that situation. And I think defensively you need to build on that, because if you really want to get your secondary better, get the pass rushers. Because you're kind of stuck with some of those young guys on the back end right now. But you could use some guys up front. And that's always a plus. But that's where I would look. I heard people talking about Cooper Kupp, Jeremy, mm-hmm. last night about the Ravens need to make the trade, go get Cooper Kupp. And I'm like, no, they don't.
For what?
They're good at right where they are.
Yeah.
I mean, their offense is humming.
That's fans just starting. That's fans just starting. Yeah.
Yeah, why would they have to go there? Just keep doing what you're doing offensively. There needs to be some help on the defensive side of the ball, and I would probably start with pass rushing.
Yeah. It was Mike Preston from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Mike, Zay Flowers did not practice yesterday, neither did Marlon Humphrey. Does that concern you leading to Sunday?
What concerns me is today. Do they practice today? Friday is always the telling tale in the NFL. Who goes and who doesn't go? Because usually if you don't go, you're probably not going to play Sunday. So today is the key day, because, and then also you do it Friday, and the next day you get up Saturday. Do you have any swelling? Have any problems? Are you walking clean and so forth? That's the big day. So the first couple of days, it's not a big deal. Friday is the telling day.
Hey, Mike, last night's game, since you brought it up, it ended with a terrible missed call with a face mask penalty end zone. Ended up being a safety for the Rams. Do you think we'll ever see when they're going to be able to challenge everything? Whatever it is, if you're stupid enough to challenge a holding call that you're never going to win, that's up to you. But you can challenge anything. That was egregious, and games shouldn't turn on that.
You're right. I'm afraid that's going to happen, Ed. And you got to remember, I'm a journalist, so I don't want to be there all night. But I think that's going to happen. I think you're getting to that point where they're going to they can challenge and look at everything. And I understand that because it's important to get it right. That's what you want. But, man, some of these calls that they're missing are very glaring and very obvious. So it's going to get to that point.
The funniest thing, Mike, about last night is 80% of the money was all on the Vikings. And then there were penalties on on all the third downs. Like the Twitter world out there is going nuts talking about conspiracies and the fixes in for all this. I don't think it's that. I just think we have a lot of bad refs.
Well, you know something, Jeremy, but that's what you hear all the time.
Yeah.
Since they got money involved in the betting, you hear that everywhere you go. You know, I heard it after the Ravens beat Cincinnati. Oh, they probably influenced the holder. I'm like, really? Okay, they got to the one guy. He's the one guy that they could influence the most because he could just put the ball over to the side and he misses the kick. You hear that everywhere you go. And I know the NFL doesn't care because they're making money, boatloads of money. But still, you know, when people start insinuating that people want to take, you got to watch that. That's an image problem.
Yeah, you do. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. That's the perception. Ed, what was your score?
34-17.
Jeremy, what was your score?
27-20.
Both Ravens. I had 31-9 Ravens. I think it's going to be biblical in Cleveland. Give me a score, Mike.
Biblical. I love that term. Yeah, I'm in the 31-17 range myself.
So what, you think David's going to beat Goliath?
Nah.
It's not going to happen, buddy.
I think the only way Cleveland survives is if they build an ark.
I thought you were definitely going to go to Friday's. No.
Mike Preston, thanks a lot, my friend. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
All right, buddy. 410-583-1057 is the number.
Preston's a good dude. I was telling Ed, he checked in on me when I was in the hospital, like send me some texts. And I just think like randomly when you have people do it, you don't expect. Just a good guy.
He is a good guy. He always checks in on me, but I thought that's because we're the same age.
So yeah, he's making sure Jeremy was all right. Yeah. Check and see if you're dead.
He checks in on you because he told me he wants some of your stuff.
Melissa Kim joins us at 9:15.
Okay.
Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side.
You guys. Sorry.
Brian Cashman is the pot calling the kettle black. We'll tell you why up next on The Fan.
Give me your thoughts here. Finally getting back and winning a pennant after a 15-year, I don't want to say drought, that's not fair, but you understand what I'm saying with the gap. How about winning the pennant? How does that mean to you? Let me hear.
It means a lot, and I hate the 15-year thing because it doesn't it completely forgets and discounts that some other organization cheated us when we were all the way in the end. If you knew what was going on, I don't think they would be advancing at that during that time thing. I think we would have been advancing. So I hate that 15-year thing because I don't think it accurately reflects history.
Now, this is courtesy of MLB Network. This is Brian Cashman talking about the 15-year drought of the New York Yankees.
It's their fault.
It's the 15-year drought. Now, let's go back in history. This is courtesy of USA Today. Long before the well-documented Houston Astros sign-stealing scheme, the New York Yankees utilized dugout telephones and a relay system,
Apple Watches,
from their replay review room to steal opposing signs in the 2015 and 2016 seasons, according to sealed letters obtained by multiple news organizations. The Houston Chronicle and SNY obtained copies of the 2017 letter from Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred that the New York Yankees have fought to keep under seal as part of a class action lawsuit filed by Daily Fantasy Sports Players seeking damages from the well-publicized Astros and Red Sox side-stealing scheme. So this is the Yankees were involved in the same thing. Swept under the rug. Now, 15 years? That means the last year they won the World Series was what?
2009.
You mean the team that included Robinson Cano? The team that included...
Andy Pettit?
Alex Rodriguez, and Melky Cabrera. What do Melky Cabrera and Robinson Cano have in common? They were both suspended for PED use. So you had players on your team that cheated. Listen, man, move on.
Yeah.
Move on. Don't be sitting here throwing shade on everybody else. Your team cheated. You had players that cheated on the last World Series championship team. Just keep it moving. Don't be throwing shade on people when you live in a glass house yourself, man. Don't throw stones.
This is something that's so infuriating, hearing the powers that be up there in New York, especially Cashman, the cash man who gets to spend whatever he wants, to sit here and complain about cheating when, I mean, Rob's just pointed out a few of them. There's so many different things they were accused of and things that have gone on. And then there's that, you know, gray area in baseball. What are the unwritten rules about stealing signs? Well, I know if you're on second base and you see something, it's okay to steal it.
Absolutely.
If you're using a damn camera and a watch to relay information,
it's not okay.
No, that's cheating.
That's not okay. And they did it too. Just because the Astros were well documented, the Astros were, we forget that the Red Sox were involved in this too. But we forget about that.
Well, hell, the main.
Because we used the Astros as the poster team for cheating. They weren't the only ones, folks.
Well, that's because Major League Baseball rewards some of these guys. The main guy involved in the cheating with Alex Cora ends up going and getting a job with the Boston Red Sox, and he's still there managing. And then you talk about Carlos Beltran, who was there too, got a job and then got released right afterwards because of the information that came out right away. But here we are. What was the best story this year? The Detroit Tigers. Who's there? Former Astros coach.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
So... And you look around at all these things, though, there's a ton that went on. And again, maybe they didn't get their due diligence or whatever. They didn't get their just due, I should say, with everybody beating them up because we had the COVID year. We didn't get our chance to boo them the way we wanted to and treat them like trash for a whole season. That's why when they finally came back and they were getting booed, Carlos Correa is like, why is everyone still booing us? That happened 2 years ago. Well, you guys still deserve it. But at the same extent, if you're cheating and the Red Sox are cheating and the Astros are cheating, you know what you guys are? You're
cheaters.
All cheaters.
Exactly.
So shut up.
Exactly. You don't get to pick and choose what you think is justified and unjustified. Like, no self-awareness. You know what I mean? I wonder if somebody tapped Cashman on the shoulder when he finished talking, like, boss, you do realize your team did it too. You do know that, right? There were no trash cans involved, but there were electronic devices, you know, which may be worse.
Yeah.
You know, you had players that were caught cheating on your team.
It frustrates me to hear this petulant whining from someone that's been, he's been given carte blanche to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Hey, go make this move. You can go do that. Okay. Why don't you draft better? Why don't you stop complaining about all the things that are going on? How about you sign better players in the offseason? But you know what? You can get to this point by making mistakes on signing bad contracts.
Because you can put money over top of it.
And for the people out there that are Yankee fans, like, well, why don't you guys spend more money? It's BS. If you were a fan of any other team and didn't grow up there, you would say it's BS. This is the one sport that does not have a level playing field.
And it's like you being a working person, Yankee fan, is listening right now telling us that, having someone wealthy say, well, why don't you buy a better house? Why don't you drive a better car?
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is. We ain't on the same level. And we recognize that we're not on the same level. So don't tell us to do just what you do.
I just saw somebody say billionaire owner won't buy new stadium for team. It's like, what the hell do you expect? So he's a billionaire now. Now you want him to spend most of his money, right, or a good portion of his money to build you a stadium? It's not how that usually works. But at the same extent here, and Ed, I know you understand this too. Like the thing that's been going on in New York with Big Brother, Little Brother, now the Mets are spending more money. I think they're going to steal Juan Soto in the offseason. But when you start looking at a team that's not only spending all that money, can buy whatever they want, and on top of it, they're cheating to try to get past you, then I don't have any. You're not going to see me cry any tears for you.
Yeah. And listen, I'm not taking anything away from either of these teams. I'm just saying, don't sit up there, you know, blaming somebody else. Well, we didn't get there in the last 15 years because someone was cheating.
Yeah.
You cheated too. I'm not taking anything from the Yankees, but don't sit there trying to take things away from other teams because they did it better than you did.
I would just not point it out. I mean, everybody knows it happened.
Absolutely.
They did cheat. They got caught, and that's the way it went. But you've won 27 World Series. I believe they've been at 41. I have looked that up. That's a guess, but I think it's 41.
You losers lost 14 World Series.
And this may be the 28th. I mean, you're fine.
But by the way, this is a good point. A friend of mine, Ben, just texted me. He said the electronic devices that they use now to give signals from pitcher to catcher, this is his quote, you know they'll come out with something to intercept those signals soon.
Probably.
Well, you know, the and this has been going on for a while too, but I don't know to what extent, instead of putting tar on the pitcher, having something on him, there's rumors that now that stuff's on the catcher. And when the catcher throws the ball back,
so instead of checking the pitchers, they should be checking the catchers.
There's, I mean, look, remember when we had Yadier Molina, the ball bounced and got stuck to his chest and he didn't find it?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing with all that pine tar on your chest?
Yeah.
Really?
He doesn't want his vest to slip.
I mean, the best ever was Michael Pineda. Talk about cheating.
Well, that guy, he had his shine on his neck.
He had a second head on his neck of pine tar. Yeah.
Look at his brain. Oh, brain was on the outside.
What team did he play for?
Oh, the Yankees.
That's right.
Hey, you remember that guy, Domenico Germán? He's the guy that beat the crap out of his wife, and you guys hung on to him for as long as you could. Look, there's a bunch of pieces of garbage in that team, and cheaters, and everything else that goes on. All that for just trying to win.
And we're not trying to beat you up. We're just saying, hey, Brian Cashman, keep it moving, man. You're in the World Series.
Wow, I made it to the World Series, but remember when they cheated.
Just keep it moving.
Wow.
9:15, Melissa Kim joins us.
Okay.
Rick Ritter joins us at 9:30, but on the other side is the Daily Line.
Yeah, we're going to get into, some NBA tonight, some interesting things that happened last night. I'll get into all that. What I like in Major League Baseball for Game 1 in the World Series, got a couple NBA plays. But more importantly, college football tonight, give you some college football plays and NFL plays for the weekend. That's all coming up next in the Daily Line.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.